Good morning. We're on Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph at the very bottom in the Ein Yaakov Vohar on page Tzadi Beis. Starting a new section today, and we're going to read a large section of Gemara, explain some of it, ask some questions that will form the basis for the next several weeks of Shurim. So, Amar Rabbi Tanchum. Rabbi Tanchum said, Darish Bar Kapara B'tzipori. Bar Kapara taught in Tzipori. He darshened from a pasuk in Tzipori. Mai dichtiv, what is the meaning of the pasuk? In Rus, Perik Gimel, pasuk Yud Zayin. So appropriately, we must now start preparing for Shavuos. Vatomer, she said, Shesha Sarim Ha'ela Natanli. He gave me these six barleys. The context is the beginning of Perik Gimel of Rus. Naomi says to Rus, go back to Boaz. He's the redeemer for us. You should bathe and put on perfume and put on a nice dress and go down in the middle of the night to the Goren, the threshing floor. He's sleeping there guarding the wheat, and he will know what to do. So she goes, and he falls asleep, and she lays down near his feet, and he senses that she's there, and he wakes up and says, who's there? And she identifies herself, and he gives her a bracha and says, go home in the morning, we'll take care of everything. And Pasuk says, Vayomer havi hamit pachat, bring your kerchief, asher alayich, which is on you, like a shawl, v'chaziba, and hold it, v'tochezba, and she held it. Vayamod shesh seorim. He measured six barleys. Pay attention to the language. He measured six barleys, vayashit aleha, and placed it upon her, vayavo ha'ir. And he came to the city. Vatavo el chamotah, and she came to her mother-in-law, vatomer mi'at, biti. Her mother-in-law said, who are you? Which some interpret to mean, in other words, what's your status? Vatagila et kol asher asala ha'ish, and she... Rus told Naomi everything the man had done. Vatomer, and she said, "Shesha sarim ha'ela natanli." He gave me these six barleys. Ki amar elai, he told me, "Al tavoi rikam l'chamotech." Don't come empty-handed to your mother-in-law. So that is the context of this pasuk that Bar Kapara darshaned. Gemara asks, "My shesha sarim." What does it mean? These six barleys. Ile ma shesh sarim mamash. If it means literally six kernels of barley. Would Boaz give as a gift six kernels of barley? Or Rashi here says six stalks of barley. Either way, that's a pretty stingy gift. So the Gemara continues. Now, turning, if we were in regular Gemaras, we would be turning to Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis. Ela sheish se'in. Rather, it means six se'in of barley, which is a rather large measure. Does a woman ordinarily walk around schlepping six se'in of barley? So that's a lot of barley. Can't be it either. Ella, rather, he actually gave her six kernels, or perhaps six stalks. Remez Ramazla, and he hinted a hint to her, Shatidim shisha banim latzeit mimena shemit brachim v'sheish sheish brachot. He's hinting to her that she will have six sons, meaning six descendants, who will each be blessed with six brachos. Ve'elu hein, who are they? David, Mashiach, Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah. The six are David, Mashiach, Daniel, Hanania, Mishael, and Azariah. And each of them will be blessed with six blessings, as the Gemara will elaborate momentarily. Now, where does the Gemara see that there are six? That's a good question. I don't have an answer. We're going to read a lot of Gemara today and ask a lot of questions and talk about them over the coming weeks. However, that wasn't one of them. That is a good question, and I don't have an answer at the moment. One question is, where does the Gemara get six children with six blessings, which is 36 things, out of six kernels of wheat? One possible answer is that since it says six twice, it says he gave her six kernels of six barleys, and then it's she repeats, he gave me six barleys, so that's six squared. That's one possibility. Another question is why six? Another question is how does this fit with the pshat of the pasuk? The pasuk says he measured six barleys. Why do you have to measure six kernels? You just take six kernels. And he said, don't come empty-handed. Right, you count those, not measure them. Also, he said, don't come empty-handed to your mother-in-law. I'm sure her mother-in-law like is really going to have a good, make a good cholent out of six kernels of barley. So these are all questions that we will discuss. What are the six brachos? First, regarding David. Tichtiv, as it says in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Tet Zayin, Pasuk Yud Chet. The context here is that Shaul is in bad temper, and his servants say, let's find somebody who can play the harp or play the kinnor, whatever a kinnor is. In modern Hebrew, a kinnor is both a violin and a harp. And we always picture David HaMelech with a harp, but whatever instrument they had in those days that was a kinnor. So they say, let's find someone to play a kinnor for you, and he will cheer you up. So Vayan Echad Me'anarim, so one of the lads in front of Shaul spoke up and said, Vayomer Hinei Ra'iti Leben Yishai Beit HaLachmi. Yishai from Beit Lechem has a son, Yodan Nagain. He knows how to play. V'gibor Chayil, brave and strong. There's no literal translation. V'ish Milchama, he's a man of war. Univon Davar, he's an understanding person. V'ish Toar, he's handsome. V'Hashem Imo, and Hashem is with him. V'Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav. Kol ha'pasuk hazeh lo amaro to'eg ela v'lashan hara. Who's the Na'ar speaking here? It's Doeg, one of the Tamei Chachamim, one of the great Tamei Chachamim of that period. but he only said this whole pasuk as Lashon Hara about David. How do we know that? How do we know it was Doeg? How do we know he intended Lashon Hara? Whatever happened to being Dan L'Chavzchus? So it's also something to discuss. So what did he mean? Yodea nagain, she yodea lishol.
Us being Dan L'Chavzchus to Doeg, or what happened to Doeg being Dan L'Chavzchus?
No, us. How do we even know it's Doeg, and why do we attribute bad motive to him? Now, one of the things that we said in the introduction to Ein Yaakov,
the Ramchal in his Mamar al Hagadah
says that the style of the Gemara is that when you can say something bad about a Rasha, you do. You can attribute, for example, we say that Bilam lived with his donkey. Where is there a hint in the Torah that Bilam lived with his donkey? The answer is, the more evil you can pile on to a Rasha, you do. So we say that Bilam lived with his donkey. So this could be in that category, but we'll see other explanations too. Yodea Nagain, what does it mean? He knows how to play. Sheyodea Lishol, he knows how to ask good questions. Gibor Chayil, he's brave, strong. Sheyodea Lashiv, he knows how to answer kashas. Ish Milchama is a man of war. Sheyodea Lisav Litein B'Milchamta Shel Torah. He knows how to engage in the war of Torah. Univon Davar, he's understanding. Shemevin Davar Mitoch Davar. He can understand one thing from another. Ish Toar, he's a handsome man. Shemar E Panim B'Halacha. He puts a good face on the Torah, meaning he explains, he brings proofs to the things he says. V'Hashem Imo, and Hashem is with him. Shalacha Kamoto B'Chol Makom. Everything that he says, we paskin like. B'Chulhu, with each of these things, Amar Lei, Shaul said to Doeg, big deal. Yonatan b'ni kamo, my son Yonatan is no different. Came Adam Raleiv, Hashem imo, but when he said, Hashem imo, we paskin like him, like David HaMelech, in everything he says, milta devididei nami lo havebe, which is not true about Shaul himself, chal shadate b'ni kanebo. Then Shaul felt bad and became jealous of David, which is what Doeg was trying to accomplish. Regarding Shaul, it says, everywhere he turns will go bad. Over David, and about David, it says, everywhere he turns, he will succeed. Now, the first one, about Shaul, is Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, Perk Yudalit, Pasuk Mem Zayin. That which it says about David, is not a Pasuk anywhere. It doesn't exist. So some Mefarshim say that it should say, L'chol Drachav Maskil, which is a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph Perk Yud Chet. When Rashi there says, it means he succeeds in everything he does. Uminalan de Doeg HaDomihava. How do we know that this person was Doeg HaDomi, the person speaking? Tiv Hachavayan Echad Me'anarim, because it says here one of the youth answered, spoke up, Miyuchad Shebenarim, the special one among the youth. Uchtiv Hatam, and it says in another place, in Shmuel Aleph, Perk Chav Aleph, Pasuk Chet, Visham Ish Me'avdei Shaul Bayom Hu Netzar Lifnei Hashem Ushmo Do'eg Hadomi Abir Haro'im Asher Shaul, that there was there in Nov, when David came to Nov, the city of the Karnim, one of the servants of Shaul was there. He had stopped before Hashem in the Mishkan to daven or to bring a karban, and his name was Doeg HaDomi, the strong one, the hero of the shepherds of Shaul. So, sort of Gzera Shava. Here it says Echad Mehanarim, the special one among the lads, and over there it refers to Doeg as the Abir Haroim Asher Shaul, the warrior, the hero of the shepherds among Shaul. So just like over there, it's Doeg. Over here, it's Doeg. So that's how we know that it was Doeg. We have not addressed how do we know that he had bad intentions. In fact, why did he have bad intentions? What did Doeg have against David? So all to be discussed at a future date. Mashiach. Where do we see that Mashiach is blessed with six blessings? Dichtiv, because it says in Yeshaya Perak Yud Aleph Pasuk Bet, V'nacha alav Ruach Hashem, the spirit of Hashem will rest upon him, Ruach Chochma Uvina, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, Ruach Eitza Uvura, a spirit of counsel and strength, of bravery, Ruach Dat Virat Hashem, spirit of knowledge and fear of Hashem. So there's six things here: Chokhmah, Binah, Eitzah, Gvurah, Dat, and Yirat Hashem. Uchtiv, and it's written. Rashi says that it should not say Uchtiv. This is a new thought. Ktiv. So that's another thing to be discussed: the meaning of the two different girsas, with a vav and without a vav. Varichob Yirat Hashem. He will literally smell with Yiras Hashem. He will not judge according to his eyes. He will not rebuke based on what he hears. What does that mean? Rabbi Alexandri says it means that Mashiach will be weighted down, like rechayim, like a millstone. He'll be weighted down with mitzvos and with suffering, in order that he should have the schus to be Mashiach and to be able to bring merit to all the Jewish people. Hashem will give him the opportunity to perform tons and tons of mitzvos. It will be weighted down like a millstone. And likewise, he will suffer. There's a concept, it's not a Christian concept, it's a concept taken from the Jewish people but changed by the Christians, of Mashiach suffering for our sins. It comes from Pasuk in Yeshaya. So we'll also something to talk about at a later date. Rava Amar, Rava says it means Demorach Vada'in. He will be able to smell the truth. Tichtiv, as it says, Lolomar Einav Yishpot. He won't judge with his eyes. B'Shavat B'Tzedek Dalim V'Chiyach Mishor Lan V'Aretz. But he will judge with righteousness the poor, and rebuke the in a straightforward way the humble of the land. Now, Rashi says that it means he won't need that to even though he can't see, there are things he can't see, he won't be able to see, but he will be able to smell if someone is guilty or innocent.
Okay. Are we saying these are human senses that are heightened, or are these, I'll call it this way, beyond natural senses that he will have?
So this is primarily a discussion for a future shiur, focusing just on these two words, that he will smell the truth, and we'll elaborate on that more. Right now, obviously, it's something that needs a lot of explanation. What does it mean that he'll be able to smell the truth? Right now, I just want to stick to very basics. Rashi says that even though he won't have seen and won't have heard, he will be able to judge fairly, to judge accurately, implying that the ideal is to see and to hear, but even without doing that, he'll be able to judge properly. He'll be able to sense the truth. Well, let's just say for now. Okay. The Marsha says essentially the opposite, that when you see and when you hear, you could make mistakes. Ein l'dayan ela ma'ishma shein avraot. A dayan can only judge what he sees. If somebody, if a witness can fool the judge or lie to convincingly lie to the judge, then the judge is going to reach the wrong conclusion. Mashiach won't be subject to that. He won't need to see or hear because he will sense the truth. Again, exactly how does that work? What does that mean? What's the significance of that? That we'll all discuss at a later date.
Do you think that's any relationship to Yitzchak and the way he sensed, you know, that Esav was the wrong person and smelled Gan Eden and like the other?
Interesting. Well, it didn't work for him. Because he got fooled.
Right.
That's interesting. Interesting question. It also comes up in with Yosef and his brothers when they came to Egypt and he invited them for dinner. So there it says Tvach Tevach v'hachein, shech the animal and prepare it. And Rashi says, remove the Gid Hanasha in front of them. And I don't remember who, but I saw someone who says, it doesn't say, it might be the Parashas Drachim, I don't remember for sure. It doesn't say, shecht in front of them, but it does say, remove the Gid Hanasha in front of them. Okay. Why? Because since they already had the mitzvah of Shechita, because a Ben Noach is not allowed to eat Eiver Min HaChai, so they would be able to sense that the animal was properly shechted. But since they did not yet have the mitzvah of Gid Hanasha, because the Gemara says that even though it's written in Sefer Bereishis, and it says, Al-Kein lo yachlu b'nei Yisrael, that Yisrael's sons won't eat the Gid Hanasha, at the time it was just a custom. Until the Torah was given, it was just a custom. And therefore they would not have been able to sense whether the Gid Hanasha had been removed, because it didn't rise to the level of holiness that, because it wasn't binding on them, so therefore they had to see it removed. So it's something that comes up other places. I didn't think about Yitzchak. That's interesting. We'll come back and talk to this. Another thing we'll come back and talk about is one of the brachos given to Mashiach is Yiras Hashem. How can Hashem give someone a blessing of Yiras Hashem? What happened to Hakol Bidei Shemayim, Chutz Mirat Shemayim? We have free choice. Everything is in the hands of God, except our fear of God. That's our job. So how can God bless someone with fear of God? Related question is, how do we daven? We daven, Hashivenu Avinu L'Torah, return us to your Torah every day in Shemini Esrei, three times a day. Hashivenu Avinu L'Torah, V'karvenu Malkeinu L'Avodatech, return us to your Torah and bring us close to your service. Return us in tshuva. How can we daven for that? That's our job. Another question is, can a person daven for someone else to do tshuva? Also, a related question, what happened to the other guy's free choice? If I'm going to daven for him to do tshuva, what happened to his free choice? We also say later in Shemoneh Esrei, in the bracha of Alat Tzadikim, v'sim chokeinu imahem, place our portion with them. It's not Hashem's job to place our portion with the tzadikim. It's our job. So what does that mean? All things we will come back and discuss. Bar Kozeva, malach tartein shnin upalga. Bar Kozeva, who may or may not be the same person as Bar Kochva, another thing we will discuss, ruled for 2.5 years. Amar lehu l'Rabbanan, he said to the Rabbanan, Ana Mashiach, I am Mashiach. About Mashiach, it's written that he can smell the truth. Let's see if you can smell the truth. When they saw that he could not smell the truth, they killed him. This whole story of who was Bar Koziva is something we'll come back and discuss. Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, the last four of the six descendants of Rus, who were alluded to by the six kernels of barley, are Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. Dichtiv b'hu, about whom it says, Yiladim, asher ein b'hem kol mu'um, v'tovei mar'eh. They are children in whom there is no blemish, and they are handsome. V'gomer, and it continues, v'asher koch b'hem lamod b'chal ha'melech. They have the strength to stand in the throne room of the king. Maya she'ein b'hem kol ma'um. What does it mean? They have no blemish. Afilu rivda du kisilta. They did not even have a scar from bloodletting. They were so in such perfect health and so handsome, they didn't even have a scar from bloodletting on them. I'm sorry?
They did not need to get their blood left.
Either they did not need, which is most likely interpretation, or they were so healthy that immediately their skin healed perfectly, whether it's because they never had a bloodletting or they just healed perfectly. I don't know. Amar Michama bar Hanina, afilu kirivda de kusilta lo habibu. What does it mean that they had the power to stand before the king? They withheld themselves from laughing, from idle talk, from sleeping, and because of the awe of the king, they could also hold it in when they needed to use the bathroom. So there are lots of things to talk about here. Rashi says they refrained from idle chatter because the king would look down on them if they engaged in idle chatter. So this will give us an opportunity to talk about different kinds of speech. The Maral and Rambam divide speech into different categories: speech that's good, speech that's okay, speech that's not something to be proud of, speech that's usur, lots of different categories of speech. So that's another topic. And another topic is really a halachic question here about withholding for themselves from needing to go to the bathroom. But sort of like the beef eaters in England, they just stand there all day, emotionless. So every once in a while I see cute videos. In fact, I saw one involving a frum kid trying to make them laugh. And it's actually a funny sight. But okay, so that is the Gemara regarding the six kernels of wheat that Boaz gave Rus. The Sefer commentary on Megillas Rus called Kachat Musar by Rabbi Yisrael Zev Harwitz, who was a rabbi in Hungary, the rabbi of Uhl, which was a town of Yismach Moshe, the founder of the Teitelbaum dynasty of Hasidic Rebbes, and he was the rabbi of that town at the time when the Yitzchak Moshe lived there.
Is the name of the town?
Buhol. In Yiddish, it's Aleph Vav Hey Ayin Lamed. In Hungarian, I can't pronounce it. It's a much longer name. Satterol Uhali, something like that. It's in northeastern Hungary. So he says. Now he notes that Rashi in Megillas Rus says that Boaz was hinting to her that she would have a son who would have six brachos and cites the sukkim regarding Mashiach. Ruach Chochma Ubina Yitzag Ra, Ruach Dat Virat Hashem. And so Rav Yisrael Zev Harwitz asked a number of questions. Rashi seems to be, Rashi in Megillas Rus says, can't mean six se'im, six measures, because a woman doesn't carry that much, like the Gemara says, but rather six barley kernels, literally. So he asks, what does the pasuk mean? He placed it upon her. Six kernels of barley you put in her hand. A load you place on someone's back. A bookcase, you can pick up the bookcase and put it on someone's back, right? Six kernels of barley you put in a person's hand. That's number one. Number two, he said, don't come empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Well, six kernels of barley is pretty empty-handed. It's not going to make a good dinner. Furthermore, it says he measured six barleys. You don't measure six kernels of barley, you count them. So he says that the pshat of the pasuk clearly is that he gave her a very large amount of barley to take home. He measured out a significant amount of barley and placed it on her back and then said, hold out your hand. And he placed six more kernels of barley in her hand as a siman. He placed a big load of barley on her back. And that's why it says he placed it upon her. He measured it out. He said, don't come home empty-handed. And in addition to the large load of barley on her back of an unspecified amount, not six seim, because that's too big a load for one person to carry, he said, now hold out your hand. And he placed six kernels of barley in her hand as a sign for these six brachos. So he did both.
Why would he have to measure it out? I'm giving you a pile of.
So he's interpreting. There's a form of drasha sares hamikra, chop up the pasuk. Rashi in Chumash mentions it a number of times. In other, he's saying when it says he measured six barleys, it's saying two things. He measured some large amount. And also, he gave her six barley. Chop up the pasuk and darshan it.
But I'm saying, why does he have to measure a large amount? Can't he just give her a large amount?
His bookkeepers wouldn't let him.
Two possibilities. One is he's giving her matnos aniyim. He's giving her gifts for the poor. Wants to know, he has to give maser ani, has to measure it. He wants to keep track of his maser in general. It's one possibility. Another possibility is he wanted to give her enough for a certain number of meals. Also another possibility. No, I don't know for sure why he would have to measure it. Probably not what you said. But, okay. But he measured some amount and also gave her six barleys. Why now? And why should she take this sign of six blessings back to her mother-in-law? What's the point? So he suggests, Rav Harwitz suggests, this whole story is not the most seemly story. She bathes, puts on perfume, dresses up, comes to him in the middle of the night. He's sleeping. She lies down next to his feet. One could certainly wonder what happened there. So Boaz wanted to demonstrate that nothing happened, everybody behaved properly, and the proof of that is that that I merited to have a nevuah in the morning. If I had acted improperly, I would not be on a level to have a prophecy. And here I had a prophecy in the morning that Rus is going to have a descendant who will have these six blessings. And he wanted to demonstrate that, so he wanted her to take that message home to her mother-in-law, to Naomi. And so he gave her these six kernels of barley at this particular time. Why six? Why not more or less than six? He says, Rus herself did six good things. First of all, she did kindness for her mother-in-law. One. Number two, she left her father. Number three, she left her mother. Number four, she left her land. Number five, she followed Naomi, not knowing where she was going. I mean, she knew she was going to Eretz Yisrael, but she didn't know anything about it. Just moved to a foreign country. There was someone here in Shul many years ago. Got married, and at the end of Sheva Brachos made Aliyah. His wife had not even set foot in Eretz Yisrael, ever. She had never set foot in Israel, and right after Sheva Brachos, they made Aliyah. I mean, that's faith, right? So that's what Naomi did. That's what Rus did. She didn't know anything about this place she was going, and she followed her mother-in-law. So that's five. And number six, that she, even though technically she could have married anyone, she could have looked for some handsome young guy among Boaz's workers, but she didn't. She waited for everything to play out. So those are six things, and for those six things, she deserves six brachos. Boaz says, "Heitav tchastecha charon min arishon." The last thing you did is greater than all of them. That shows that she is a God-fearing woman. And for that, she deserved a double blessing, which is the six squared. Six, which the Gemara says, Rashi in Rosh doesn't mention it, but our Gemara says, six descendants, each with six brachos. Because of the great kindness she did, that Boaz says the last one is greater than all of them, so that caused the blessings to be multiplied exponentially. So that is one explanation. The other is that by not looking for a husband among the young workers of Boaz or anyone else, she was doing chesed for the neshama of her late husband by wanting to marry into his family, even though it was not technically yibum, which is, we talked about this before when we talked about gilgulim, that when the mitzvah yibum is performed, a woman marries the brother of her late husband, so and has a child, so the neshama of the deceased comes back in the child. So this was not technically yibum, but she was marrying a relative, a cousin of her husband. She was waiting to marry a cousin of her husband. And that's a chesed for the deceased. Doing a chesed for the deceased is called chesed ve'emet. It's chesed, right? We refer to it as chesed shel emes. It's a chesed of truth. In the pasuk, it's chesed ve'emet, chesed and truth, because it's a chesed that cannot be repaid, because the person who's deceased is not going to pay you back. So it's a true chesed. And so because it's double chesed ve'emet, therefore she deserved a double or a squared blessing, six times six. That's his other explanation. Incidentally, I always thought, you know, we refer to a chesed that one does for the deceased as chesed shel emes, because he's not going to pay you back. It's even more than that. It's chesed shel emes because you don't want him to pay you back. Right. We're no rush to have this chesed done for us. So it's a true chesed. One is not looking for any form of repayment. So that is the explanation of the Lekachat Musar, Rav Yisrael Zev Horowitz. The Iyun Yaakov says more simply, as I mentioned, since it says Sheish Sorim twice in the Pasuk, once when he gives it to her and the second time when she tells her mother-in-law about it, so that alludes to the double blessing. Rashi seems to switch from talking about six kernels to six stalks. And it's not clear why Rashi does that. Some Farshim discuss why Rashi does that. And the Etz Yosef says, perhaps he gave her six stalks, each of which had six kernels. And that would be another explanation for where we get these 36 blessings. Six people, each with six blessings, because there were six stalks, each with six kernels. To explain the pshat of the pasuk, he suggests that Boaz gave her, actually did measure out six seim, six large measures of barley. He put it in the corner, and he told her, this is yours. Take some of it home now. Come back another day, take some more. And that would explain why the pasuk says that he measured it out. Gemara then says that the first of the six descendants is David. And the pasuk says about him, well, Doeg said about him, Yodea Nagain, he knows how to play. Gibor Chayil, Ish Milchama, Navon Davar, Ish Tar, Hashem Imo. So why are we attributing a bad motive to Doeg? Again, Doeg was one of the great Tamei Chachamim in that generation. We know from the Pesukim he hated David. That's clear, he hated David. And another time we'll have to talk about why he hated David. But why are we attributing a bad motive to him? So the Marsha says that Doeg did not answer the question that was asked. The Shaul's servant said to Shaul, you know, you're in a really bad mood. Let's get someone who knows how to play the harp, play the kinnor. And Doeg says, I know just the guy. He knows how to play. He's brilliant. He can argue in Torah. Halacha's always like him. And so on, all six his blessings. Who asked you? We're looking for a guy to play some music. Who asked you about all these other things? Furthermore, Doeg didn't say he knows how to play the harp, the kinnor. They said, let's find someone who knows how to play the kinnor. Doeg said, I know someone who knows how to play. He didn't say, I know someone who knows how to play the kinnor. It's clear he had something else in mind. And from the fact that he volunteered all this other information, we have a halacha. You're not supposed to volunteer lots of good information about people. It's a form of Lashon Hara. To excessively praise someone out of place, particularly, is a form of Lashon Hara because it's going to make people say, oh, yeah, that's what you think about this guy? Well, I'll tell you some other stuff about this guy. Or it's going to make people say, is that really true? It's going to question it. You say all this these nice things about him? Is that really true? Well, I saw him do such and such. It's a halacha. You're not supposed to just randomly throw out praise of people. And that's what Doeg did.
He had the same concept. I know he had the same concept. I can't place it. Like, you go to someone's house and have dinner, and you go to someone's house and you see me afterwards and say, wow, they serve great food at Moses' house, and blah, blah, blah. You get people now waiting, lining up at my door to get these free dinners because you gave a good report and said something nice.
Right. That's a related halacha, not to excessively praise your host and hostess because, like I say, now people are going to line up at their door looking for handouts, looking for good food. So that's a related idea. So that's how the Marsha explains why we attribute a bad motive to Doeg. The Etz Yosef says that, I mean, there really could be a reason why Doeg would have said all these things off peep shot, and that is Shaul, he wasn't just in a bad mood and needed someone to play music for him. As we discussed 2 days ago, I think, there were 1.2 million Nevi'im in history. Shaul is not one of the 48 Nevi'im who prophesied a message, but Shaul was a Navi. He was on that high spiritual level. And his bad temper was preventing him from reaching those spiritual heights that he would experience. So he was looking for someone who was going to cheer him up so that he could get back into the back into spiritual things the way he used to be. We find a similar concept by the prophet Elisha, that when he needed help prophesying, he would have music played for him. So Doeg is saying, according to the pshat of the pasuk, Doeg is saying, I know just the guy. He's not only a good musician, he's spiritual himself, and he's a Talmid Chacham, and you could have a great time with him learning and getting back into the right mood to experience Nevuah. So according to the pshat, we don't necessarily have to say that Doeg had bad intentions, but Chazal had a tradition that Doeg had bad intentions. That's how Etz Yosef explains, unlike the Marsha, who says Doeg should not have said all these things, therefore we know he had bad intentions. So Etz Yosef would be more like before, that if you have a chance to say something bad about a Rasha, go ahead and say it. That's a form of drasha that Chazal follow. So lots of material here to come back and discuss in future shiurim. And I will stop here. Have a good day.